Brian, thanks for joining us today on Radio Democracy.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I read that the current tour that PE is embarking on will be its 63rd tour in a little over 20 years. So what can Australian audiences expect to see on this tour?
We just finished a tour in across Europe about 2 days ago, and what we focused on for that tour was the 20th anniversary of It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, which is the second Public Enemy second album. And so we performed that album from beginning to end, and then we played other tunes from the rest of the catalog. And the audiences just loved it. They just went crazy because that's a lot of fans' favorite albums. So we played that from top to bottom. And I believe we're going to do that same thing in Australia, excluding the festivals we're doing, which wouldn't give us time to do that. But I expect that we'll be doing the same thing.
So that was that as part of the All Tomorrow's Parties festival or something like that? Because isn't that a concept that they'd come up with, the Don't Look Back series?
Yeah, Don't Look Back. Yeah, that was a continuation. We had done that earlier this year, and you know the fans just liked it so much, we just moved on with it. You know, and continued to do it, and we'll be doing it. We won't be doing it past at the end of this year. That's the end of that. So I'm assuming we'll be doing it for those first couple of days of the new year, since that concept has gotten great reviews. So I'll assume we'll be doing the same thing.
Awesome. So we'll have the S1W and the Bomb Squad in attendance.
Well, the S1Ws, some of them were able to make it and some were not. There have been some passport issues with Professor Griff and James Baum, so they didn't make this last European trip, and I don't know if they're going to make Australia either. With the Bomb Squad, they only opened up for the UK tour we did earlier. It was primarily the UK and some of Western Europe tour earlier this year. The Bomb Squad opened up for that tour. They didn't open up for this tour we just finished a couple of days ago. So I don't expect that the Bomb Squad would be in Australia either.
20 years on the road with Public Enemy, I was wondering what kind of things go down in the Public Enemy tour van or backstage. Like, what is it? Is it Chuck D's politics, or is it Flav goofing around? What kind of things are going on backstage or in the van for you guys?
Well, various things. I mean, you have a group of 12 people traveling who have their professional life together, and then they have their private lives. So sometimes it gets crazy, sometimes it's hairy, and sometimes it's calm and quiet. But when we're off the when we're on the stage, it's the Chuck D and Flavor Flav show. That's they're pretty much front and center of that thing. Everyone else supports that. When we're off the stage, it's whoever's ever show has the loudest mouth that day, I guess. So
yeah.
Crazy things go on, and sometimes nothing goes on. It's pretty average, like any other group,
Sure. I've read that Griff had criticised Flav for doing Flavour of Love, and I know that a lot of fans not so much feel disappointed, but they were a bit surprised maybe to see Flav doing the show, because it seems to go against a lot of what the Enemy has always been about. Has it caused any tension amongst the group?
It hasn't caused any tension that wasn't able to be resolved. Whatever Griff had to say about that, I assume him and Flavor talked about it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Because we all live in different parts of the United States now. We don't all live in New York. Fans, I've heard fan responses, some fans who've come to know of Public Enemy through his show, they don't have an opinion about it, except, oh, he has a band too, so I'm going to go see that band. And we've had some shows where you could see that audience in the front row, they weren't Public Enemy fans, they were Flavor Flav fans. You could tell, for one thing, they were young, they were not part of they were very young, I mean very, very young, 14 years old, and that demographic, and they were part of a demographic that didn't grow, you know, you didn't grow up listening to Public Enemy. So the upside of that is, well, you have a new group of people listening, but then again, are they listening to the lyrics, or are they just coming to see Flavor Flav? You get a mix of that. And then I've heard fans who were extremely critical of it, because they felt it was against what Public Enemy stood for. Public Enemy stood for various things for various people, you know. So it's run the gamut. Has it created tension in the group? Nothing that wasn't able to be resolved, you know.
I guess looking at bigger sort of picture stuff, what do you think needs to be done? It seems to me that hip-hop seems to be getting, as it has been for quite a while, getting lost in the ego and the bling and all this kind of superficial crap. Who do you think is out there to carry on the message of, you know, like fight the power and that kind of political aspect and that conscious aspect, which carries on elements from things like, you know, Bob Marley's music? Who do you see kind of coming in out of the current crop of artists that are coming through?
Well, that's a tough one. In the current crop, you know, not that I know everyone who's out there. I don't know who's making noise in Australia. I'll find out when I get there. On this European tour, I became aware of some artists that I can't remember who, you know, I got the collection CDs I have to go through. I became aware of some artists who seem like they want to pick up that gauntlet and run with it. But out of the current crop of people where we all know their names, I don't see anyone able to do that, but for a couple of reasons. Not that they wouldn't want to do it if it was given to them to just step in that space and then carry on, but it's not a space you can step into. You have to fight your way into that space. Not that you have to fight Public Enemy to get there, you have to fight the politics of the industry to get there. And I don't think anybody that we may know their names, the reason we know their names is because they got to a certain level in the industry. And the industry doesn't allow for a Public Enemy to exist, because at the time Public Enemy came into existence, you were at the tail end of record executives who actually were career-oriented. Okay, record executives now are not career-oriented. It's a gig, you move to the next gig, your contract is only as good, or your time is only as long as you create a hit. So Public Enemy made a social statement because the time was right and the talent was there. You see, with all the talent that Chuck has, and the good communication between himself and Flavor, and all the talent of the Bomb Squad, if the time wasn't right, we would not know who Public Enemy is today. It would be, you know, it would not matter. The time was right, and the talent was there. With today's crop of artists, there's a severe lack of talent, and the times ask for a different thing from the artists. You see, our times and our cultures, particularly Western culture in America, and Chuck is very critical of American culture, like, don't be like America. I don't take that position. I'm an American, and I was born here. This is my home. I am a product of this country, and I'm proud of the things that American culture has done that was good. What I don't like is the negativity of American culture. And I speak against that. So you have artists like, say, 50 Cent, or artists like whoever. I'll use 50 Cent as an example, who seems like a nice enough guy to me, okay? I only saw him in person one time in my entire life, and that was in Australia. Where is the Rod Laver Arena? Is that in Melbourne?
Yeah, that's in Melbourne, yep.
Okay. He was, I believe he was performing there in 2003.
Yeah, that sounds about
and
right.
And we were there at the time, and we were guests of him to go to the show. Now, 50 Cent, he, you know, Curtis Jackson, he's from the same town I'm from, Hollis, Queens, okay? And I know where he's coming from. I know the folks he knows, but I'm not about that whole thing. So my worst musical experience was sitting in Rod Laver Arena, surrounded by a whole bunch of white Australians, and them all chanting "nigga this, nigga that." I hope you can say this on your show. What was that place hold? 15,000 to 20,000 people or something like that?
Yeah, it's a big venue.
It was a lot of people. And I'm surrounded by all of these folks who are not black chanting nigga, nigga, nigga against with all these lyrics. And I'm like, whoa, that's supposed to be a nightmare for me. But what that has become is the highest level of black entertainment, black American entertainment. I'm like, whoa, this ain't good. Not that I didn't know what his music was before I went there, but I figured, well, let me just go and see the show. And that's what I saw. That was my worst musical experience. The worst musical experience I ever had in my life was that. So you have an industry now who supports that. Now, the industry says, well, we support that because that's what the kids want to hear. That's what the people want to hear. That's not true. That's not the reason. The reason they support it is because it's titillating. It's what it was. It's the same thing that Jerry Lee Lewis was. It's the same thing that Elvis Presley was when they wouldn't film him from the hip down. It's the same thing that Little Richard was. It was dangerous. That's why they support it, because it's dangerous, and you know, the little kids are going to sneak out to buy it. So, this whole thing about, well, this is what's happening on the streets with people want to hear, that's a crap story. They're selling something that is supposed to be dangerous, and they want to sell it because they know if it's dangerous, people are going to go for it. It's easier to sell that kind of thing. So knowing that that's what the industry will support, you'll get a whole swath of artists who say, well, I could say maybe, yeah, I could do that. I could do it just as good as him, and I can call this woman a bitch. I can call this woman a hoe. I can do all that stuff really easily and do it behind a dope beat, and I can make money. So since that's all the industry is requiring, well, then why become public enemy? Why become a public enemy? That takes too much work. You got to work that. You have to really sell that. So I don't see any artists really coming of the people we already know. They're too far in the system already to change now. Will someone new come up that challenges the status quo? Absolutely someone will, because someone always does. And all we can do is look for that day and encourage that to happen. But of the people that are out there now, I seriously doubt that anybody that we already know the name of is going to make any significant changes in that direction.
Someone like Sage Francis comes to mind for me, but obviously he's still fairly much in the underground scene.
Someone like who?
Sage Francis. I don't know if you...
Oh, Sage Francis. Yeah, well, Sage Francis has been touring with the Rock the Bells tour and the what was the other one? I can't remember the other. It's a smaller tour that they do. I can't remember what that's called. Oh, Paid in Full or something like that.
Okay.
And he's been, you know, that name has been circulating. And we'll see what happens.
We can certainly point you in the direction of a couple of politically charged hip-hop acts when you get to Australia. So it is happening here. It's good to know that it is happening, and it's kind of reaching out into the mainstream even now, which is really cool to see.
Well, let me say something about that, and please share it. Well, this is a radio show. I hope people hear this. What we have to remember is there are a lot of groups that are angry and have a message that needs to be heard or should be heard or could be useful, but they must always remember that it's in the context of the entertainment business. So you could be angry, you could have the dopest lyrics, you have the craziest beats, blah, 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 but if you're just browbeating people over the head, you're only going to be preaching to the choir. Public Enemy is the perfect example of having that information, that education, that angst, that anger, that power, and was totally entertaining. You see, so a lot of the quote-unquote conscious hip-hop groups are losing because they're not entertaining. If you want to change people's minds, you got to get them where they live.
Yeah, and I guess that's been the beauty of the dynamic of Chuck D and Flav. Yeah, you've got the message, and then you've got this kind of flavor is kind of this access point, I suppose, for people who aren't kind of tuned into that message, I suppose. And then then you've got this amazing music behind it, like you're saying. It's got the whole kind of combination there.
Well, that's it. Chuck and Flav are the dynamic duo. You know,
yeah.
They're the Batman and Robin. They're the Sam and Dave. They're the, any great duo, that's what they represent in this game. You know, so, and, you know, you get the message and you get the entertainment. So that, you know, and the time is right, like I said earlier.
Cool. You mentioned a little bit about you're proud to be an American, and I guess I need to ask, what's the feeling like in the US at the moment with only, what is it, a month left in office for the what is now really accepted to be the worst US president in history?
Yeah, it's as you could imagine. Let me just explain why I say I'm proud to be an American. You know, you'll see a lot of people waving American flag. Oh, I'm proud to be American. And you see a lot of people waving all kinds of flags, all kinds of nations, saying I'm proud of da 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 da. I'm saying my pride of being an American is that I am a product of here, good or bad, and you don't win anyone's respect by coming from your home and telling the world that your home stinks. You don't win anybody's respect by doing that. I am a product of America, and therefore I have to do what I can do to make America a better place for not just me, but for people who want to come and visit here. So that's what I mean when I say I'm proud to be an American. It's like, I'm born here, and I make of it what I can, you know. And the mood here, I mean, this is a huge country, as you know. I mean, it's physically huge. So you've got to, the only way you're going to know the mood of any place is to be there. If you rely on the news media to tell you what's going on, it's going to be slanted. So as I travel, you know, since Barack Obama was elected, and I worked on that campaign, the headquarters contacted me here, and I worked on a campaign here in New Mexico, I haven't traveled a whole lot across the country since then, because I've been out of the country traveling with PE, and I've only been since his election, I've only been to New York and here and Dallas, okay, Dallas, Texas, and the mood in these three places are very different. New York is sort of in a holding pattern because that's where the financial center is, and people are wondering if they're going to have a job tomorrow, you know. So, but the election of Barack Obama was clearly a happy thing for all the people that I've come in contact with. In Texas, it was a little bit 50-50. Here in New Mexico, everyone's very happy. My general sense is that the country is going to become a little less cynical, a little bit less cynical, and will take more proper pride in being not just an American, but just being a human, because America had been on a wrong path politically for quite some time now, you know, and a lot of people agree with that. But a lot of Americans have felt hopeless because, you know, we have a president who is quote unquote in power, and everyone feels disconnected from that power. You can't vote anybody. You can vote them in, but you can't vote them out. You know, but this election cycle, and particularly on my radio show, I spoke to this every show. I spoke to this and I think people are becoming more aware of it, that Barack Obama was able to motivate and mobilize tens of millions of people. He was able to get people to switch their party affiliation. He was able to get people to register to vote. And during the course of this election cycle, people have been educated to the process. They also understand that making him the president will make no changes significantly if they don't stay involved in the political process. So every election cycle, every 2 years when a major election's happening, everybody that got up and voted for this president needs to vote for the local sheriff, the local judges, the head of school boards, the senators, their governors, their representatives, on and on and on. Because if you vote for a president and he's still sitting on a pile of dung, you know, or crap, then he can't do anything. So I think that the mood here is a bit more hopeful, and people will realize that they have the right to be involved. And he made it sexy to be involved, quite frankly. The women love him. He's a handsome guy. He's got a powerful family. They're incredibly qualified. He and his wife, they're overqualified for that job, quite frankly. You know, they got two beautiful daughters, and people, I think, are excited and motivated. It's had unprecedented turnout. So I think, ultimately, the mood is good. You know, it's a very simple question you asked me, but you know, I really need to give you all that to give you an answer, you know?
No, I understand that completely. Like you said, it's a big country and there's diverse views and opinions, and yeah, it's a huge thing, and everyone, you know, the whole world is watching, to use that famous line. I know that in Australia we all were very interested in watching the election and the whole campaign and how it all turned out. PE is a group that, you know, has always been at the cutting edge in terms of its sound, its politics, and also with things like distributing albums in MP3 before that became a popular thing. I guess looking back on the 20 years of all those achievements and looking forward, what would you say that Public Enemy has got left to do?
That's a good question. And I think that's a question for Chuck D, because we pretty much follow his lead. But I will say this, from my money, Public Enemy's role at this point is to be the standard, to remain the standard that people will consider them to be. You know, Public Enemy's history is going to be reviewed very shortly, okay? It's going to be reviewed, and as the group continues to perform and continue to travel and exist, the band has to just maintain, and no one's perfect, but the band needs to maintain its credibility through its actions and its art. That's what the band has to do, because the next level of things that need to be done artistically and socially more than likely won't be done by Public Enemy. It's not, you know, it's like the story of Moses. At a certain point, he couldn't do anything else because it was just against the laws of physics and the laws of nature that he could do it all forever. You know, Public Enemy in many ways has made the statement it's going to make. That's my feeling, my personal feeling. It's made the statement it's going to make. Chuck, as an individual, will continue to go on and speak truth to power, and you get to know more about his personal views. But as an entity, I think Public Enemy has made that statement, so it just needs to remain a powerful and entertaining entity so that when people review it and judge it, it's like, yeah, that's what they were, and that's what they still are. You know, but the next level of change is going to come from another, from somewhere else. That's just the way, that's the way the universe works, you know.
Awesome. Thanks very much for your time today, Brian. It was great talking to you, and we very much look forward to having you on our shores again in a couple of weeks' time, or a week or two's time. So, yeah.
Okay. Are you coming to the show?
Yeah, I'll probably come along for the Brisbane show, yeah.
Okay. Well, let me give you my email address, and cool. Please email me a link and a copy of the show. I'd love to hear it. Do you stream your show online?
We don't at the moment, but I do have capacity to put it up on like an audio sharing website.
Okay.
Called Radio for All, which is a
All right, cool. Well, let me give you my email address.
Awesome.
It's Mr. Hardgroove, M R Hardgroove, H A R D as in dog, G R O O, V as in victory,
yep.
E. MrHardgroove@gmail.com.
Okay.
And just drop me a line and give me your full name, and make sure, you know, I see you doing that show. We'll make sure we hook up again.
Awesome. Excellent. That'd be wicked.
All right.
Cool. Thanks very much,
okay,
Brian.
Take care, man.
Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye.